In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the feast of a little-known saint, a blessed Franciscan Third Order, a confessor James Oldo. He was born in the territory of Milan, in the city of Lodi, and there he labored to the end of the 14th century as a very zealous preacher of penance, who at the same time did strict penance and atonement for the transgressions of his earlier years. James was born in 1364. He was born to a distinguished family and reared according to the spirit of the world. And James, after the death of his father, gave himself unreservedly to the enjoyment of the world because he was blessed with such great wealth that he need not really worry about anything. Even as he entered into the holy sacrament of matrimony, he did not want for anything in his life and lured his wife as well into the same purpose. And so they gave themselves to the greatest of amusements, throwing so many parties and lascivious events. It came at a certain point that a friend of his died, and so as a faithful friend, he accompanied him unto his final resting place, there to the grave. And there at the open grave of his dear friend, divine grace seized his heart. It was there that he began to think within himself, given a moment being sobered, that his friend no more with him, now just the shell of the man to be planted within the earth. But the Lord caused the thought to take root within his heart as he said to himself, "If your body were lying here, where, James, would your soul be? If your body were lying here, James, where would your soul be?" In pondering that sobering thought, he began to tremble and resolved in that moment to make a radical change to his life. He soon made his way to the parish church at which his friend had his mass said, made a general confession of all the sins of his entire life, especially of his lasciviousness and his worldliness, the way in which he engaged in so many parties, and sought to join the Third Order of St. Francis, becoming a penitential and devout Christian. He would have gladly let his wife enter into such a way, but on account of his own mother, she refrained from doing the same and continued upon her worldly vanities and her way of life. This time not being able to hold the parties in her own home, went off to those events at others. But God has a funny way of working on those who he wishes to convert to himself. In this, through the penances and prayers of James, his mother received a vision as well, harrowing as it was. It was in this vision that appeared to her that she and her son had been snatched from their worldly amusements at a party, to immediately appear before the Lord Christ at his judgment seat. She was so strongly affected by the vision that she herself spoke to her daughter-in-law and urged her to follow the example of her husband. And both women joined together the Third Order to be joined with James. What did they do after this? They took their fashionable mansion, which then had been the scene of such extravagant pleasure, and then served now for an edification of the whole city as it became a sober place of Christian piety. When his dear wife passed away in the graces of our Lord, James took that as a call from God, went to the bishop, and had received ordination as a priest. And he began to lead a life even more rigorous of penance than before. Upon his bare body, he wore a coarse penitential garb. He ate neither meat nor drank wine for the rest of his life and observed almost a continual fast. Sometimes he ate only once a week until he received the order from his bishop to take at least food three times a week. He slept on the bare earth with a stone laid under his head and incessantly preached to the people, admonishing them to do penance. Because of the effect of his words, indeed, strengthened by a life of penance, many turned from their worldly ways to live a Christian life, seeing one who had been so worldly before now being so otherworldly. That, of itself, had a great effect upon the people of his day. And in this prominent lady, there was a woman by the name of Mirlanda who founded a convent of poor Clares. She, converted by his way of life, provided for the sacred vessels of the church for the sake from the own jewels which she wore around her neck and entered in to become a poor Clare herself. James obtained from God many great graces, including the grace of prophecy. Repeatedly, what he would do would speak about wars and famines, difficulties that were facing the day, and every time he spoke a prophetic word, it was soon there afterwards visited with the accuracy of the prediction. Indeed, James even was graced to predict his own death and died in the fullest hope of divine mercy in the year of our Lord, 1404. 7 years after his death, his body was still found to be incorrupt, and indeed we're waiting for the day when the church will recognize him and raise him fully to the altars. What are some of the things that we can learn from the life of such a blessed man, whose feast we do indeed celebrate today? Consider for a moment how blessed James reaped from the solemn moment a grace that urged him to do penance, and immediately he changed his life. Our Lord desires to speak to our hearts at all times. He always wishes us to look in a wider sense that our time of life and here on earth is merely a grace which God has given us. And our Lord says, as he does in the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 3, verse 20, he says, "Behold, I stand at the gate, at the door, and I knock. And if you open the door and let him in," our Lord is good enough, no matter what your state may be, to enter in, when you enter in through fruits of penitential heart. And therein, with the Lord in your life anew, when he stands and knocks into your door and you invite him in, he will enlighten you, give you strength with a grace that can produce a fruit unto eternal life for you. Do not allow the Lord to knock in vain in your heart, because now is still the daytime, for now is the time when work can actually be done. Indeed, for some of us, though we know it not, it may in fact be evening. And so the night will soon come, and the Lord will not knock anymore. And then you will not be able to do any more work. Death comes quickly. But there are also many special times of grace that happen within our lives. These invite us to greater works of penance and greater works of falling in to the Lord. Our Lord calls us for a moment of conversion, a moment for reaching out to his graces all the more, as he speaks to St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 6:2. He says, "Behold, now is an acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And so see the graces that are already provided for you within this life. Improve upon these occasions, particularly through devout reception of the sacraments, particularly when we come to Holy Communion, to ask our Lord to imbue you with all the graces that are found therein for conversion of life, for recovery from sin, for a buoying of your spirit from whatever depressions may creep in from the world, the flesh, or the devil, to allow all the fullness of these graces which the Lord is bestowing upon you to really take effect and root within your life. For as Isaiah prophesies, chapter 55, verse 6, he says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is still near." Indeed, it is important for us to consider that special moments of grace come to every one of us. We saw it within James's life, when he was there at the open mouth of the grave, which was there and had already swallowed his friend. Indeed, we saw what grace was visited upon his mother-in-law, earned through his own penances on her behalf. And such moments often depend the entirety of our eternity, and a higher degree of perfection, which will have its effect on our entire life hereafter. Because the grace is offered in so many ways within our life for many links of a chain. If you and I do not grasp that first link, then the entirety of the chain is lost. If we do not reach for those graces and make good use of them, what will indeed become of us? And what could have been? We will only see that at the last and general judgment. We can think now upon the folly of all those graces which we have let pass through our fingers, which we have not acted upon. Let's then ask our Lord for the grace, like St. James, when you hear the voice of God, when he knocks upon your heart, that you let him in quickly, speedily, and readily, that nothing may be lost for eternity. For as our late Pope said, though we may be afraid that if we give ourselves fully to Christ, that we will lose something of ourselves, something that makes life special, beautiful, makes us as individuals, makes life truly feel as though it was worth living. But indeed, the Pope says, do not be afraid. For it is only in the context of this relationship with our Lord Christ that life has its true vigor and meaning. And it is only in the context of this relationship with Christ that man can truly be what he has been called to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.